The Brad Sessmatt Show, broadcasting live.
Good Monday. Thanks for being with us. John Wilner, Wilner Hotline, as we do every Monday across the college football, college sports, fruit and plain. So John and I were together last Wednesday at the Fiesta Summit, and we got into the weeds over dinner. We went to dinner with the great Andy Bagnato, and late into the night we were talking about, well, not too late in the night, but late in the night, late enough. You know, I'm old. I don't think I'm old. My wife tells me I'm old. But we're talking about, okay, so what happens if a college football player has a semester end around the first week in December, and they want to, a football player still wants to play, and their team is in the college football playoff, and they're into like the semis, and who's going to stand in their way and say, no, you can't do that legally? That's, I mean, that's how really crazy it's going to be in the college football space that we're going into this year. Seriously. You think that's outrageous and it could never happen? You can't. There's no rules. So we're going to chop it up with John about that. Also, his impressions of Brett Yermark, the new head of the Big 12. And you have to ask these questions because once George Kliakoff took over, before Larry Scott, y'all thought, oh, everything's going to be great. Everything. No, it wasn't. It was even worse. So what did he make out of his time with Brett Yermark? So we'll have that coming up. But there's some other college stuff as well. Opening comments are brought to you by Desert Financial Credit Union. Desert Financial Credit Union, taking care of you, taking care of your business. As always and through the years, that is Desert Financial Credit Union. We appreciate their support. When I woke up this morning, that's why I love doing this. I absolutely love doing this. Because when I woke up this morning, the words Snoop Dogg were not on the front of my forehead. They were not. I woke up this morning. It's a beautiful mid-80 degree day in Gilbert, Arizona in May. Life's not bad. It doesn't suck. I've got rabbits outside my window. I've got quail and babies on the garden is growing. Everything is great. Forget about the fact the Suns aren't playing now. And forget about how good Minnesota looks and Denver looks. And like the Suns window is closed. More on that in a minute. Instead, Snoop Dogg pops up because about 45 minutes ago, this dropped on social media.
College football fans are exhausted by the constant talk around NIL, conference realignment, coach movement, transfer portal, and super conferences. So it's time that we get back to the roots of college football, when it was focused on the colleges, the players, the competition, the community, the fan experience, and the pageantry. Being a fan, coach, supporter of all levels of the game, I sent many players through my SYFL to colleges and the NFL. So it's only fitting that I step up and help get this thing right. I'm ready to bring the juice back to college football. And I'm taking my talents. That's right. To Arizona. Believe me. Arizona, baby. I'm here to announce the new collaboration, the Snoop Dogg Arizona Bowl, presented by Gin and Juice by Dre and Snoop. The game will be played on December 28th at the University of Arizona Stadium in Tucson, Arizona. I'll be there. Will you be there? Well, guess what? We'll see you there.
Okay, so this comes out. Now, remember the Arizona Bowl was Barstool, and that caused a huge uproar, like, oh my gosh, Barstool's sponsoring a bowl game. And then there was the Jimmy Kimmel Bowl over in Los Angeles. There's way too many bowl games. How do they succeed? How do they go through it? I see this morning. I'm thinking that's really smart. This is an alcoholic beverage that is tied to a bowl game. I don't believe that has happened. I could be wrong. Just first impressions right off the top. You have a 17-time Grammy Award winner who's saying, I think I'm going to put my name, image, and likeness into a bowl game. I don't know who's going to be in this bowl game. What I have seen in the past on this bowl game is it is sometime after Christmas, and it's usually played during the day. This is not like the one that they have in downtown Phoenix that's had 20 different bowl names and is buried deep into the night. So this is pretty cool. Can't Can't deny that. Could you imagine if Arizona State were to be able to play in a bowl game and it'd be at Arizona Stadium? Could you imagine that? Like U of A this year, there's no way that they're going to play in that bowl game because they're going to be good. They're going to be really good. They're going to have an opportunity this year. I think U of A in the Big 12 this year is going to be just fine. All that with injuries to the side, I think U of A is going to be just fine. I don't think Arizona State's going to be as bad as what people predict. You know, I think Kenny is doing the right things in spite of the nonsense of not having an AD and a president who doesn't know, doesn't care, doesn't have a clue, and doesn't want a clue. That's the only way to put it. And those are dangerous. Those are dangerous when you have those two together. I've done a lot of great things on campus, but just when it comes to sports, there's no denying, just doesn't get it. I think for the Bulls, just the Bulls in general, like I was at the Fiesta Bowl last week with Wilner, and I had a couple of people with the Bowl that came up and said, what do you think? And I said, there was a time, this isn't a swipe, it's just a fact. There was a time, and it was a different time in the Bowl world, where being a Yellow Jacket was a bigger deal than being a Thunderbird. It was. There's no debating that. No debating that. And I hope that the Bowl gets back to that. So far, what I've seen out of Eric Moses, it feels like he's doing a good job. But you really don't know because it all is going to be the television network saying, this is what we're doing. Do it. Like I asked a question the other day, why has it been 9 years since Phoenix hasn't had a champ game? And I got a non-answer. So Snoop is in the bowl business. And you got to believe that for him to be in the bowl business, the back end of this has got to be pretty amazing. Like the distribution has to be already figured out. They just haven't said it yet. The fact that it's going to be in a part of the country where the weather will be nice towards the end of December, where they could attract people from across the country, that a college kid can say, I played in Snoop's bowl game. I played in Snoop's bowl game. That's a big deal. Huge deal. Huge selling point. You're U of A. We are viewed so well and regarded, and we're so cool, and we're with the times, that Snoop's putting his own bowl game here in our stadium in Tucson. They're going to use that. So there's always things that come up. Like later today, I'm going to be at a space where there's a bunch of big cigar ASU people and some U of A big cigars too. And these big cigars are confused over why they should be giving money to the college kid to go play a sport. And we'll just talk football. Some of these big cigars, they have been big cigars for a long time, and they just can't wrap their arms around the idea of having to pay a kid to come to their university. They've thrown money at buildings and have their names on here and there, and it all sounds great. Now they're being asked, like, hey, man, we need some money for this kid. Time, if you're walking them around campus, you're walking around a recruit, hey, here in our stadium, by the way, this is where Snoop Dogg's playing his bowl game. That sells. That sells. I'm not making this an ASU U of A thing. That's low-hanging fruit in our world. But just look at it from that perspective. What do you have at Sun Devil Stadium outside of graduation the other day? I mean, seriously, what do you have? You could come here and be part of the reclamation project to get this thing turned around. Kenny's selling that. I'm not going to make a big deal out of recruiting rankings. They become basically meaningless. It gives people something to get excited about in mid-May, early May. That's it. Because the portal, when it opens next December, and then when it opens again next year, get back to me if you have a kid who's here for more than a year or 2 years. Like Elijah Badger is touring U of A or toured U of A this weekend. Could you imagine if Elijah Badger goes to U of A, how that's going to roll with some ASU folks, some of the big cigars? Pretty crazy. And, you know, for the big cigar guy, it's I could go to a pro game. I can go to a pro game. I can sit in my suite that I paid big bucks for. I can watch the game and I can go home. Now, on the college end, I have somebody calling me from the business side who wants to put my name on a building. I got somebody call me from the collective side. eventually it's going to be somebody from the football side because they're going to bring it all in house. And what exactly am I getting out of that? And by the way, you know what? I gave you $1 million and you lost to U of A by 30. Or U of A, you lost it. Well, in basketball, this doesn't matter more for the U of A fan because football just doesn't really matter to the U of A fan because every March I hear how great your program is. You can put a name on a stadium, you can put a name on a wall, but at some point, will there be fatigue that sets in? Will there be really big cigars? Will it be the guy that I know somebody that told me they're putting in $200 a month? $200 their budget. So $2,400 a year to support their football program in some way, shape, or form. And if they don't win, and this is a trickle-down effect, by the way. This is all trickle-down stuff. So this is going on in the college football scene. I watched Minnesota the other night against Denver start to finish. Let me give you a little bit of breaking news. This is not breaking news, but it's just, if you're a Suns fan, you're in trouble. Like, the window's closed, hasn't it? Hasn't the window closed on this big three? When you're watching Minnesota, as young as they are, and I am not going to go down the path as many are doing. It's hard to not do, though. When you watch Ant-Man do his thing, it's hard to not think back to somebody from a different era that wore number 23. It just isn't. Wow. Every move that he's making, the explosiveness, the this, the that. I'm not going to sit here and do hours and hours on it. That's, everybody's trying to be out front on that one. But I'm watching the other night. Oh, my gosh. Look at him. He's just growing. He's just blossoming right in front of our eyes. Man, they've got size. And they made some good free agent pickups. And they're so young. And they're so athletic. What do we have out here? We've got some nice individual parts, but... Well, give them another year together. They'll get it all figured out. Really? They're just suddenly going to be healthy? They're just suddenly not going to be a year older? Seriously? Are you hearing yourself? That's fandom taking over rather than being a realist. Sometimes you got to look at your teams and say, what are we doing? Speaking of my team, so I have found myself really enjoying the Diamondbacks. I found myself yesterday morning, I was doing some work here, and I was like, you know what? I just want to go to the game today. So I bought a couple tickets. No, I didn't get freebies. And a lot of people in our business go get freebies. I bought a couple tickets. I took my wife. She was excited to go. She had her Diamondback jersey on and her Padre hat that her late mother used to wear. It was a great day for her. And we went to the game. They actually had some offense because they've been dreadful as of late. They've just been brutal. But I, you know, I'm watching them and it's okay. They don't have Alec Thomas. They don't have Sewald. They don't have Rodriguez. They don't have Merrill Kelly. You know, you go down the list of who's doing what offensively when they are on the field. And they got battered around this homestand. It was not a good homestand. Yesterday was a nice way to finish it. But you go to the Padres and Dodgers at home and you get whacked around, go 2-4, and three of those four losses were not really competitive at all. It's not a good homestand. But it is May 6th. I can't keep saying it's June 6th, July 6th, August 6th. They're 2.5 back in the wild card. Yeah, I'm one of those guys that looks at it. I'm enjoying the game yesterday. I'm just enjoying the game. It's a nice crowd. It was Little League Day, Cinco de Mayo. I had some Gadzooks. I had some liquid refreshment. I was feeling pretty good yesterday, having a nice time. But as I'm watching them at 15-20, it's, okay, is this thing going to get better? Corbin Carroll had a couple hits yesterday. His average is right around 200. It's about 10 points better than where it was a week ago. Every week, just get a little bit better. Get back into this race. Get some of these injured players back. Have some luck, because they haven't had good luck as of yet. It's a good thing Ketel Marte has shown up this season. I'm still optimistic that they're a wild card team. They're not going to catch the Dodgers. The Dodgers are already leaving everybody in the dust. But if you get your pitching back, get your two starters back that are out right now, Zach Gallen's pitching tomorrow at Cincinnati. I'm optimistic. The Kentucky Derby, all I saw was the photo finish. I didn't sit and watch it all day. They brought in $320.5 million. It's almost $35 million more dollars bet on this race than there was last year, as gambling continues to overtake society. Nothing wrong with that. That's what you want to do. But with it comes the NBA player that is betting on the side. With it comes the reports that I'm reading now. The NBA is saying no longer can you have players from the G League involved in prop bets. So on, 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 so on. It's always going to keep me curious. That's pretty much on my mind on this busy Monday. Up next, it is John Wilner, Wilner Hotline. We're going to go deep in the weeds on the college football scene as we do every week. That's next. If it is Monday, it means we chop it up with the great John Wilner, Wilner Hotline. You can find him on X at Wilner Hotline, of course, on the website. We had dinner the other night, and John cleaned out the Sports 360 budget for travel year, which it was great to see you at the Fiesta Summit. Let's just start there.
Same.
So, yeah, I mean, the Fiesta Summit, it's one of those, it used to be known as the Frolic. For the fans out there, it changed names, rebranded, and all that stuff. You were one of the very few. I mean, there were maybe three or four of us there total. And you dove in, you fly in, and you get a lot of stuff. What is it about that event for you, first of all, that made you want to come?
Well, so there's actually two events. One is the conference meeting. So the Big 12 and the Mountain West held their spring meeting. So that's the commissioner and the conference executives meet with athletic directors. They meet with the football coaches, the basketball coaches, right? And they deal with issues. And then there is the Fiesta Summit. So the conference meetings are like Monday to Wednesday. And the Fiesta Summit is kind of Wednesday afternoon through Friday, where there's a whole bunch of events. And there are other college sports executives, folks from the Big Ten were there. You know, there's TV executives come in because, you know, they want to meet with their conference partners. So a lot, you know, there's, you know, headhunting firms there, a lot of people come in. It was important for me to be there. Big 12 is going to be there, right? There's four Pac-12 schools going in the Big 12. The hotline is covering the Big 12. Wanted to be there, sat down with Brett Yormark in a one-on-one interview, met with a whole bunch of conference officials, athletic directors, just not only just kind of touching base and shooting the bull, but also doing some reporting and gathering information for upcoming hotline articles and columns.
John failed to mention that the Pac-2, when they have their meetings, it's at a coffee shop somewhere in some Starbucks, right?
Pac-2 decided that they didn't need to come. They, in the past, the Pac-12 has had their meetings there, and the Washington State and Oregon State decided they did not need to do it. I did confirm that it doesn't, the 10 schools aren't departing until midnight on August, you know, 2nd. So August 1st, it's the Pac-12, and August 2nd is the Pac-2, which is a little weird because officially, like, you know, I believe that's in the middle of the Paris Olympics. So, you know, when the Olympics start, any athletes from those four schools, for instance, will be Pac-12 athletes technically. Yeah. By the time the Olympics end, they will be athletes for their new conferences. The new conferences can't say before the thing starts, we're going to have X athletes from the Pac-12 schools. They can only do it afterward. It's a little bit weird.
John Wilner with us for a couple of minutes, just back from being in the Valley at the Fiesta Summit. And I think for the U of A and ASU alums, fans, coaches, you sat with Brett Yormark, the new commission, not new, the head of the Big 12, where both those universities are going. You had one-on-one access with him. What do you think U of A and ASU are walking into from a leadership standpoint, John?
Well, he's different than the leaders they've been used to in the Pac-12. He's much more aggressive. You know, he has pitched himself as a salesman, and he is very much that. He is a deal maker, and he's looking for ways to improve the Big 12 situation, not only relative to the SEC and the Big 10, but finding other ways to generate revenue. You know, his background, and this is, I think, especially relevant for Arizona fans, Yormark is really a basketball guy. Mm. And he has placed a big priority on basketball for the Big 12, looking for ways to be creative and expand the Big 12's basketball footprint, its platform, revenue streams. And I think he's got a few things cooking on that front. It was a couple of pieces of news. One is that he was clear that he does support NCAA tournament expansion up to 76 schools. So that would be an additional 8 from what we have now. And he also said the Big 12 does support college football playoff expansion to 14, right? And remember, it's only a 12-team playoff for the next 2 years.
Right.
Starting in 2026, there really is no number. They haven't figured that they have a TV deal with ESPN, but they don't have a format and participation number. And the Big 12 clearly prefers 14. He thinks more access is better, both with the playoff and March Madness.
Okay, but is he competent? So I'm asking it very direct to you because the last two people that we've seen oversee the Pac-12 put it in this mess, didn't get the job done, way in over their heads. Brett, you're more competent in the Big 12 where U of A and ASU are going to.
Yeah, it certainly seems to be based on what he's done so far. I mean, he's gotten a lot done in 2 years, basically, right? Not only getting the four corner schools, but you know, he figured out the new TV deal for the Big 12, and he figured out a resolution to the Oklahoma-Texas departure issue. Those were the three big kind of topics for him to do on the to-do list, and he's accomplished all of them. He is high energy. Everything is done with urgency. That is a stark contrast to the way George Kliarkoff managed the Pac-12, which was very little urgency, even in a situation that demanded it. So it's a much different leadership style. The other thing that Arizona and Arizona State are walking into is a conference that is unified. They're all on the same page, right? There's no tiered, there's no hierarchy really in the Big 12, right? In the Pac-12, you had USC and UCLA, they leave. Then you still had Oregon and Washington, which were kind of on a different level than everybody else.
Right.
In the Big 12, they're all pretty much the same. And all the schools care about stability. It's going to be a very competitive and balanced conference. I mean, its strength is in its balance, right? And its parity. The strength isn't in the elite football schools because those schools are all in the Big 10 and SEC. But I think that there's a lot of stability within that parity, so to speak, in the Big 12.
Drill down a little bit, if you could, on the basketball and his background, because with the ACC sitting out there, I think they're on the verge of being what the Pac-12 just went through. There's a lot of great basketball brands, dominant basketball brands, that could suddenly become available. John, do you think he's angling that direction, or do you think he's like, you know what, I'm just fine with where we are? Because I've read and I've heard, and I'm sure you have too, that the Big 12 is a notch below the Big 10 and the SEC, just an overall standing in college athletics.
Oh, it is for sure. I mean, and they admitted it because the ACC and Big 12 were forced to take lower revenue shares from the right. College football playoff than the Big 10 and the SEC. And, you know, they weren't happy about it, but they didn't really have a choice. They didn't have the leverage. So I do think that your Mark is eyeing the ACC and thinks it's going to break up. And this is just my opinion, to be clear.
Sure, sure.
Thinks the ACC is could crack and there will be schools available to add to the Big 12's portfolio, just like schools became available from the Pac-12. So, yeah, he's still looking to expand. He has basketball top of mind. He ran the Brooklyn Nets for a long time, right? He thinks that there is untapped value in college basketball, that there's not that it is close to being as valuable as football, but that there's more there that he can kind of, you know, get water from stone, so to speak, mm-hmm. with basketball. And there's certainly some big basketball brands in the ACC. Now, if the ACC does break apart, North Carolina is not going to be available for the Big 12, right? They're going to be in the SEC or the Big 10. Duke, I don't know about Duke, but he's looking over there, sure. And, you know, I'm not sure that he's done trying to get Gonzaga into the Big 12. I'm not sure that he's done trying to get UConn into the Big 12. He has got, again, urgency, energy, and is certainly likes to make deals. And there's plenty of deals to be made in college sports.
Yeah, I wouldn't be surprised if Grand Canyon University ends up in the Big 12 for basketball. I really wouldn't. Just knowing everybody that's connected and all that front, there's more than just a little bit of smoke on that one. Is he a unifier, John, or is he a win? Is he a win at all costs? It's all about me, guy.
No, I think he's a. I think he's a unifier. I mean, I think certainly his reputation is part of it, his thinking, as is the case with any of these commissioners. But I think he's a unifier, and he walked into a good situation. Mm-hmm. He walked into a deal where Texas and Oklahoma had already said they're leaving, and the conference wanted to stay unified. The remaining schools were unified by virtue of being left behind by Texas and Oklahoma. And I think he was the right commissioner for the Big 12, an aggressive deal maker when it needed to be done, as opposed to George Kliakoff, who was the wrong leader for the Pac-12.
John Wilner with us for a couple of minutes. Before I get you out of here, I do want to dive deeper, just coming off the Fiesta Summit and sitting there with you in a ballroom and hearing about the college football playoff from Bill Hancock, who is leaving. Your opinion, will we see the expansion from 12 schools to 14, 16, whatever the number is in the next 2 years?
I think we will see it at 14, and if not 14, then 16. I think 16 is definitely in the cards, even though nobody's really talking about it. So they need to probably decide in the next, I would say few months, but it could be later this year, right? A lot of the commissioners, and your Mark said this too, they want to see how the 12-team playoff works, right? They're already talking about 14 before there's even been one game played in the 12-team playoff. So they may wait till late fall or next winter and see how the 12-team situation unfolds before they decide for sure whether they want to move to 14 or stay at 12 starting in 2026, right? The next 2 years are the final years of the contract with ESPN. So that's why it's at 12. Then there's a new contract cycle with the 2026 season. That's why things are on the table to change the format, change the numbers of teams. So we'll see what they do. They got a blank slate for 2026 and beyond.
Okay, so these bowl games have faced the issue, John, of opt-outs. And yep. So we get games that aren't very good, that aren't very interesting. Sometimes we get games that don't move the needle as all. The Fiesta Bowl had that this last year. Very tough deal with their matchup with Liberty out on the field. With the players trying to be leveraged that we believe they'll be employees by next year, right? We still think that is likely?
Well, yeah, we think that they will. They may not be deemed officially deemed employees, but they will have a part of the revenue. They will be engaged in some kind of revenue sharing agreement with the schools, I would think, by the end of 2025. So whether they're actually legally employees or not, that is still being worked out. But there's going to be a revenue sharing agreement. Each school is going to have to fork over $10, $20 million in revenue sharing annually with the athletes. There's no doubt that's coming. There is a lot of work being done behind the scenes to see if, the bowls can somehow contractually bind the athletes to participating in those games, either via this an NIL agreement or a revenue sharing deal. The bowls are concerned about the opt-outs, and they are very concerned that, the bowls that aren't part of the playoff, the 12-team playoff, are going to fall even farther behind the bowls that are in the playoff, and they'll become less relevant, and there'll be more opt-outs of those games.
So what I'm leading to is, okay, so the players are over here. The opt-outs you and I just talked about, we're talking potentially of 17 games now for college students, 17 weeks of games. There may be a bye. There'll be a bye or two built in there. Are we going to see a good product? At the end of the day, does it even matter? Because there's so much gambling money sitting over here, and there's television ratings over there, and the quality of play doesn't really matter to the consumer as much as it once did, because I'm a Wisconsin fan. I don't care if it's dog food on the field. It's the Badgers, and that's all that matters to me. The quality of the product, John, I'm just wondering and looking at it saying, are we going to have good football by the end of the year? Because it's not like the NFL, You can just go out and sign a street free agent as your third string quarterback who might have a little bit of experience. Address that if you could.
Well, the biggest thing is depth. Depth is going to be even more important to get through the longer season for those teams that go deep in the playoff. And depth is harder and harder to secure because any second stringer, a good second stringer, is entering the transfer portal looking to be a starter somewhere else. Mm-hmm. So there is an interesting dichotomy there. We'll have to see how it plays out. But you're right. If you win your conference championship or play in your conference championship game, right, that's 13. And then if you don't get a first-round bye in the 12-team playoff, you have to go in the you have to go through four rounds of the playoff to win the title. Even if you're not playing 17, there's going to be schools playing 15, 16. Depth is going to be at a premium. I don't know how it's going to play out. You would think the quality will be pretty good by the end. The drama certainly will be.
Sure.
But depth is going to be more important than ever.
Okay.
And harder to secure than ever.
Okay, but yeah, let me go down that rabbit hole then, because I love getting in the weeds with you on this. Let's just say I'm the center and I'm at a university that goes 3-8 on the season, and I'm done by the second week in November. What's to prevent me from jumping over to another school? And I'm saying right now today, there's no way that could ever happen. But John, if I want to move from restaurant A to restaurant B, nobody's going to say I can't move from restaurant A to restaurant B. We're going into really uncharted territory here, where I think you've got to look at things that sound outrageous and completely idiotic and say that will never happen. Well, okay, here we are. There's no ground rules.
There are no ground rules. Right now, you can't transfer in the middle of a season and play.
Right.
But that could change, right? The NCAA is getting challenged in court on lots of fronts. And the other piece is, right, you can switch schools. There's a semester issue, right? The winter, either the winter fall quarter, fall semester ends early, mid-December, mm-hmm. right? There's still going to be a whole bunch of games to be played mm-hmm. in January. Mm-hmm. So will an athlete try to challenge to become eligible, say, for the semifinals with a different team?
Right.
Possibly. We right. could see that. I would not put anything past anyone. The NCAA will try to prevent that from happening. Obviously, it would cause even more chaos, but they have not won a court battle in since time immemorial. So I don't know how they would stop that. We'll see if that somehow gets written into the revenue sharing or collective bargaining agreements that are going to be happening in the next 18 months. But yeah, anything. I think that we're going to see the eligibility clock get rolled back so that it's no longer you only have 4 years to play. You're going to have 5 or 6 years to play. I think that's coming.
And if I get a job as a junior in college and I decide to go take that job and I'm 25 and then I'm 37, it's like, you know what? I did the job, but I still have some college eligibility left. I'll just go back and play. Sounds outrageous. Sounds like the game will pass them by. Nope. I can go make some NIL. I can go play football still. I'm not going to put a limit on anything. The people that say, oh, that will never happen. You don't know.
You don't know. And the big thing is you have to marry up those issues with what a regular student can do, right?
Sure.
Because that is the biggest thing. You know, with these lawyers who are challenging the NCAA, a lot of it is based on letting the athletes have the same rights as a regular student or, normal citizen, right? And so a regular student takes more than 4 years to graduate. Why couldn't an athlete have more than 4 years to play? Regular students can do all the transferring. The regular students can go back to school. You know, all those, anything that is open to a regular student, I think eventually will be open to athletes, if not already.
He is the great John Wilner. You can find him on Wilner Hotline. Of course, his content is on the website. I'll see you next week. Thanks.
Thanks very much, Brett.
And we're back with more after this timeout.